The theme is on darkness and temptation. My mind became dimmed in a strange way. No truth seemed clear to me. When people spoke to me about God, my heart was like a rock. I could not draw from it a single sentiment of love for Him. When I tried, by an act of the will, to remain close to Him, I experienced great torments. And it seemed to me that I was only provoking God to an even greater anger. It was absolutely impossible for me to meditate as I had been accustomed to do in the past. It's a trial. I felt in my soul a great void, and there was nothing with which I could fill it. I began to suffer from a great hunger and yearning for God, but I saw my utter powerlessness. I tried to read slowly, sentence by sentence, and to meditate in this way. But this also was of no avail. I understood nothing of what I had read. The abyss of a mystery was constantly before my eyes. Every time I entered the chapel for some spiritual exercise, I experienced even worse torments and temptations. Notice, more than once, all through Holy Mass, I had to struggle against blasphemous thoughts which were forcing themselves to my lips. I felt an aversion for the Holy Sacraments, and it seemed to me that I was not profiting from them in any way. It was only out of obedience to my confessor that I frequented them, and this blind obedience was for me the only path I could follow and my very last hope of survival. Humility, obey. The priest explained to me that these were trials sent by God, and that in the situation I was in, not only was I not offending God, but I was most pleasing to Him. At least a third person telling you this, otherwise you cannot solve anything. You are in complete darkness. This blind obedience to the confessor telling you this, and you have to just believe. This is a sign, he told me, that God loved you very much, and that He has great confidence in you, since He is sending you such trials. So when we have trial, this could be a sign that God loved you more, that you share His passion. But these words brought me no comfort. When you're in trial, nothing can console you. You just plainly believe, but still no consolation. It seemed to me that they did not apply to me at all. One thing that surprised me, it often happened that at the time I was suffering greatly, these terrible torments would disappear suddenly, just as I was approaching the confessional. But as soon as I had left the confessional, all these torments would again seize me with even greater ferocity. So when you go to confession, so peaceful, so nothing to tell the confessor. But when it comes out, confessional, it comes back. I would then fall to my face before the Blessed Sacrament, repeating these words, even if you would kill me, still will I trust in you. It seemed to me that I would die in these agonies. But the most terrible thought for me was the conviction that I had been rejected by God. Then other thoughts came to me. Why strive to acquire virtue and do good works? Why mortify and hide yourself? What good is it to take vows, to pray, to sacrifice and immolate yourself? Why sacrifice myself at all the time? What good is it if I'm already rejected by God for all these efforts? And here, God alone knew what was going on in my heart. Once, when I was being crushed by these dreadful sufferings, I went into the chapel and said from the bottom of my soul, "Do what you will with me, O Jesus. I will adore you in everything. May your will be done in me, O Lord and my God, and I will praise your infinite mercy." Through these acts of submission, these terrible torments left me. Suddenly I saw Jesus, who said to me, "I am always in your heart, even you're in darkness, even despair, even nobody can console you. I am always in your heart." Jesus knows, but you couldn't see him, but he's still there. An inconvincible joy entered my soul, and a great love for God set my heart aflame. I see that God loves twice as beyond what we are able to suffer. Oh, I fear nothing. If God sends such great suffering to a soul, he upholds it with an even greater grace, although we are not aware of it. One act of trust at such moments give greater glory to God than whole hours passed in prayers filled with consolation. So when you are at peace, you can say hours before the Blessed Sacrament. When we are in troubled mind, troubled water, so it is so. But one act of trust, even you don't feel it at such moments, gives greater glory to God that whole hours pass in prayer filled with consolation. So when we pray, not for your glory, but for the glory of God, we forgot. We just pray so that we can be consoled. Even if we are not consoled, for the glory of God. O Mary, my mother and my lady, I offer you my soul, my body, my life, and my death, and all that will follow it. I place everything in your hands. O my mother, cover my soul with your virginal mantle and grant me the grace of purity of heart, soul and body. Defend me with your power against all enemies, and especially against those who hide them malice behind the mask of virtue. O lovely Lily, you are for me a mirror, O my mother. So today also in memory of our sorrow of Our Lady, not today. Although we celebrate Sunday Mass, but also remember today. O Jesus, divine prisoner of love, when I consider your love and how you emptied yourself for me, my senses fail me. You hide your inconvincible majesty and know yourself to miserable me. O King of Glory, though you hide your beauty, yet the eye of my soul rends the veil. I see the angelic choirs giving you honor with their seas, and all the heavenly powers praising you with their seas. And with their seas, they are saying, Holy, holy, holy. Oh, who will comprehend your love and your unfathomable mercy toward me, towards us? O prisoner of love, I locked up my poor heart in this tabernacle, that he may adore you without cease, light and day. Allow of no obstacle in this adoration. Even though I be physically distant, my heart is always with you. Nothing can stop to my love for you. No obstacle exists for me. O my Jesus, I will console you all for all the ingratitude, the blasphemous, the coldness, the hatred of wicked and sacrilegious. O Jesus, I want to burn as a pure offering, as to consume before the throne of your hiddenness. I plead with you unceasingly for poor dying sinners. O Holy Trinity, one and indivisible God, may you be blessed for these great gifts and testament of mercy. My Jesus, to atone for the blasphemous, I will keep silence when unjustly reprimanded, and in this way make partial amends to you. I am singing within my soul an unending hymn to you, and no one will suspect or understand this. The song of my soul is known to you alone, O my Creator and Lord. So the part of prayers only with Jesus. I will not allow myself to be so absorbed in the whirlwind of work as to forget about God. I will spend all my free moments at the feet of the Master, hidden in the Blessed Sacrament. He has been torturing me for my most tender years. Word of Jesus. Write this before I come as just judge. I am coming first as the King of Mercy. Before the day of justice arrives, there will be given to people a sign, the heavens of this sort. All lights in heavens will be extinguished, and there will be great darkness over the whole earth. Then the sign of the cross will be seen in the sky, and from the openings where the hands and the feet of Savior were nailed will come forth great lights, which will light up the earth for a period of time. This will take place shortly before the last day. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heaven, from the heart of Jesus, as a font of mercy for us, I trust in you. Another paragraph. The place of Venus, August 2nd, 1934. On Friday, after Holy Communion, I was carried in spirit before the throne of God. There I saw the heavenly powers would incessantly praise God. Beyond the throne, I saw a brightness inaccessible to creatures. And there, only the incarnate words enters as mediator. When Jesus entered this light, I heard these words. Write down once what you hear. I am the Lord in my essence, and am immune to orders or needs. If I call creatures into being, that is the abyss of my mercy. So we are created of the mercy of the Lord. We are loved mostly by Him. And that very moment, I found myself as before in our chapel at the Nila, just as Mass had ended. Already had these words written. Once when I saw how much my confessor was to suffer because of this work which God was giving to carry out through him, fear seized me for the moment, and I said to the Lord, "Jesus, this is your affair. So why are you acting this way toward him?" That means the priest. "It seemed to me that you are making difficulties for him while at the same time ordering him to act." Word of Jesus. "Write that by day and by night my gaze is fixed upon him, and I permit these adversities in order to increase his merit. I do not reward for good results, but for the patience and hardship undergone for my sake." So Jesus does look at what we have beautifully done, things, the results. No, he is not good looking result. He just see how we be patient and work hard. October 26, 1934. On Friday at 6:10, when I and some of our wards were coming in from the garden to supper, I saw the Lord Jesus above our chapel, looking just as he did the first time I saw him, just as he is painted in the image. The two rays which emanated from the heart of Jesus covered our chapel and infirmary, and then the whole city, and spread out over the whole world. This lasted about 4 minutes and disappeared. That's tonight. Cover the chapel, Poland, and the whole world. One of the girls who was walking with me a little behind the others also saw these rays, but she did not see Jesus, and she did not know where these rays were coming from. She was overwhelmed and told the other girls. They began to laugh at her, suggesting that she was imagining things, or that perhaps it was light reflecting by passing airplane. But she persisted in her conviction, saying that never had she seen such rays before. When the others suggested that it might have been a searchlight, she replied that she knew very well what a searchlight was, but never had she seen rays such as these. After supper, the girl approached me and told me she had been so moved by these rays that she could not keep silent, but wanted to tell everyone about them. Yet she had not seen Jesus. She kept telling me about these rays, and this put me in an awkward situation, as I could not tell her that I had seen the Lord Jesus. I prayed for her, asking the Lord to give her those graces of which she had such need. My heart rejoiced in the fact that Jesus takes the initiative to make himself known, even though the occasion of such action on his part causes me annoyance. For Jesus, one can bear anything. Another paragraph. During adoration, I felt God close to me. A moment later, I saw Jesus and Mary. At the sight of them, I was filled with joy, and I asked the Lord, "What is your will, Jesus, concerning the matter about which my confessor told me to ask you?" Jesus replied, "It is my will that he should remain here and that he should not take the initiative of dispensing himself." Asked Jesus whether the inscription could be "Christ, King of Mercy." He answered, "I am King of Mercy." But he did not say "Christ." I decided that this image be displayed in public for the first Sunday after Easter. That Sunday is the Feast of Mercy. Through the word incarnate, I make known the bottomless depth of my mercy. So he said, "I'm King of Mercy." Strangely, all things came about just as the Lord had requested. In fact, it was on the first Sunday after Easter, April 1935, that the image was publicly honored by the crowds of people for the first time. 1935. Outside the common. The image outside the common. For 3 days, it was exposed and received public veneration. Since it was placed at the very top of a window at Ostabrahma, shrine of a lady above the eastern gates to the city of Vilnius. It could be seen from a great distance. It's outside, I think, in the third floor. Third floor is the kind of bridge, no? So on the outside there, so everybody passing can see the image. It could be seen from a great distance. At Ostabrahma, during these 3 days, the closing of the Jubilee of the Redemption of the World was being celebrated, marking the 1900th year that have passed since the Passion of our Lord. I see how that the work of redemption is bound up with the work of mercy requested by the Lord. One day I saw interiorly how much my confessor would have to suffer. Friends will desert him, while everyone will rise up against you and your physical strength will diminish. I saw you as a bunch of grapes chosen by the Lord and thrown into the press for suffering. Your soul, Father, will at times be filled with doubts about this work and about me. I saw that God himself seemed to be opposing him, and I asked the Lord why he was acting in this way toward him. And although he were placing obstacles in the way of his doing what he himself had asked him to do. And the Lord said, "I'm acting thus with him to give testimony that this work is mine. Tell him, the priest, not to fear anything. My gaze is on him day and night. There will be as many crowns to form his crown as there will be souls saved by this work. It is not for the success of a work, but for the suffering that I give reward." So those who promote the divine mercy, the people really suffering, because Jesus, we ask him to pray for the souls in purgatory, especially souls in purgatory, souls of the sinners. So you have to do penance. So Sister Faustina is doing penance for the other people, and his father Sopoko also doing penance. There are times when we suffer, don't be afraid, don't lose hope. Jesus is always with you. Eternal Father,